The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Let's go! Let's go!
If you got mental and physical stamina, right? So when you get people on the second half, you got them right where you need them. Right? You got them right where you need them. So that's what hard work does, is build the foundational floor it does for you. When we stand up, the foundation, you stand on that, and then you get tighter, you get together. It's always going to be about us. It doesn't matter if it's a red jersey, a white jersey, a green jersey, or a purple jersey. Mm. No one cares. It's always going to be about us.
Together!
Yes, we can! Yeah.
Two game balls. One to the head coach, first element. Yeah. Great GM, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, hands up, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I love Victoria's locker room.
Yeah, they're better than losing locker rooms.
Yeah, so. I get gooey during them. It's fun. I get into them. Courtesy of the Chicago Bears. Brian Daboll, too, is doing some dancing with the New York Giants.
You love yourself a good club, Doug. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like a good mic'd up. I like a good behind the scenes.
Right. I told you, in a victorious locker room. I thought those game balls went to the right guys. Yes. I really did. You know, there were 11 rookies that were on the active roster yesterday, and a couple of them playing big roles, whether it was Dominique Robinson, who had a sack and a half. It was Braxton Jones, who was your left tackle. It ain't always going to be perfect, but there's a group of young players, Brisker and Gordon, and a lot of guys that are contributing right now, and that says a lot about Ryan Poles. And again, that team committed 3 penalties for 24 yards and turned it over once.
And then the 15 of the 24 were on like a fluky towel penalty. Yes. So like if we're talking about false starts, we're talking about holds, we're talking about pass interference, illegal use of the hands. You know what I mean? Like the 15 of the 24 was a fluky towel penalty.
Conversely, the San Francisco 49ers, who are a Super Bowl caliber contender, committed 12 penalties, and they had a penalty problem last year, but they committed 12 penalties for 99 yards. And many of their penalties, especially in the second half, came in drives that allowed the Bears to keep moving the ball down the field. On all 3 scoring touchdown drives, the 49ers committed at least a penalty that would keep that drive alive. So the Bears, conversely, if you don't beat yourself, even if you don't stack up man for man talent wise, you still give yourself a chance to win.
I don't think Bears punter / holder Trenton Gill is getting enough credit for trying to make a play on that.
You think so?
I think so. Listen, obscure rule, nobody knew it. I think kudos for him for trying. He had his head in the game. Who missed 2 extra points yesterday?
Kyra Santos.
Maybe if there was in a big puddle of water, he might have hit him.
Did you hear Kyra Santos tried to take the blame? I don't know if he was just protecting the rookie. He said that they weren't trying to dry the spot. They were trying to flatten the spot. That's what they were. They knew they couldn't. Like, I think I heard Yurko before he went into his duh rant. Earlier today, explained, like, you can't dry 2 inches of water. And, you know, every time you step, the water just rises. Like, but the quote from Kyra Santos was they were looking to flatten the ground.
Well, now you know.
On the spot they were.
Now you know. Odds are you're not going to be in that situation ever again.
Right.
But if you are, now you know.
And it's completely opposite teams, right? So the White Sox are in their window, and they make so many mistakes that they shoot themselves in the foot. They can't hit the cutoff guy. The manager makes weird calls. They're not hitting for, like, all these things that such a talented team run into, base running mistakes galore.
Yeah.
And then here's this untalented team with 0 expectations. But you know what? so far, one regular season game. That's all we have to judge them on. But the trend was set in the preseason that this team may be this professional outfit where they're going to try their best. They're not going to shoot. And that will get us through these days.
Yes.
And it won't be good enough in a year or two.
No.
But it's a good place to start.
You hear them constantly talk about a foundation. The foundation is built. You're playing hard. His whole hits principle that we all had a giggle at when they first we first heard about it. But there is some meat on that bone. And as I said earlier, you're not going to win many games in the NFL with 204 yards of total offense in a game where you average 3.6 yards per play. But you're also not going to lose a ton of games when you only commit three penalties for 24 yards and you win the turnover battle and only turn it over once. Don't beat yourself. You give yourself a chance to beat teams who may come and actually bring a more talented squad. And the longer, and the good kid said this with Carm for 2 hours, the longer you let a team hang around, especially a team that's quote-unquote not
young,
so good.
Young and dumb.
Because they don't know any better. They just keep growling, and they just keep coming at you, and you give them that hope. There were a couple of moments where I think the 49ers could have kind of broken their spirit, and it didn't happen. And their spirit remains intact, and ultimately you see they outscored them 19-3 in the second half.
We got full phones at 312-332-3776. I want to go back to them here in a second. Really quick, we played the Justin Fields sound where he handed out the game balls to the guys, as you mentioned, were most deserving. The coach and the general manager, Ryan Poles. Is that his idea? Does someone like from another, like, does a PR guy say, look, I think it would be a good idea if you handed out? How does that happen?
I think that that's a Justin. Listen, I think that even in his second year, he's a captain. You see how the team kind of rallies around him. He's a guy that I think brings guys together. No, I think that was a Justin Fields move.
Okay.
And again, I think it speaks to the maturity that he has and how he's perceived inside that locker room.
Joe and Homer Glenn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So I was at the game yesterday, section 430, up where you need to have a Sherpa bring you on up there.
That's right.
So I was right in the thick of it. But, you know, I feel like the rain, as it kind of got into the fourth quarter there, kind of drove the fans into a frenzy, and it was just amazing. It was an awesome experience. That I, you know, if I had to do it again for another Bears win, sure. But you know what? Like you tweeted, Sylvie, dome ready. But yes. it was an awesome experience for sure.
I think it did two things yesterday, Joe. And thanks for the call. It like for the people who do believe in Bears weather, it made them believe even more.
Yeah.
And then for the people like me who like to be in a 70-degree controlled environment to watch amazing athletes do amazing things, it just makes you more ready, more dome ready.
I'll take what's behind door number two.
Yeah. I saw, see how comfortable all those Minnesota Vikings fans were yesterday in the wake of their team's win in the Packers, like the sunlight's going through the windows and the ceiling with the glass ceiling and just like is a cool environment. And I'm
ready
for that.
Can you imagine if the Bears had lost that game, how much more miserable it would have been? Because of the conditions. Like you tolerate the conditions because you end up with a dub.
Right. Right.
Like if you lose that game and the second half looks a lot like the first half with regard to the offense. Oh my. Yeah.
Like Sylvie, do you have FOMO from yesterday of not being at the game?
No. Yeah,
I'm with
you. I don't.
Listen,
I've had my share of cool experiences and been in rains and stuff like that, but I was happy with where I was with my kids watching the red zone after the game and
I don't
enjoying.
Feel the need to go experience that again. I thought it was great. I got a chance to see some former teammates and some other stuff, but I don't feel like I need to do that again.
That is one of those. It is absolutely better as a memory than as an experience.
Right. Well, Mallor, we experienced it some longer than others, like you. That was the exact day we had at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
The Kentucky Derby that we were at 3 years ago, I think it was I think the wettest Kentucky Derby in history.
Mm-hmm.
It rained from the start of the day, and then in the race, we sat under an underhang and drank, and we enjoyed. But we went out in the race in the ponchos and everything. We were soaked, and we had to walk to and from. And it didn't ruin our experience and actually maybe enhanced the memories.
Yes.
But I don't need... I didn't have any FOMO.
This was worse. This weather experience was worse.
Yes. The only difference was, I mean... At the Kentucky Derby, we were like dressed up in suits, and that was weird. You know what I mean? Like we just being soaked in the suit. And
I don't recall being even one-tenth as soaked as I was yesterday.
We'll be right, because you were out in it the entire time.
You were also drunk.
At yesterday or at the, at the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah,
that doesn't change how wet I was.
Nah, it changes how you feel.
It's how cognizant you are of how wet you are.
No,
yeah.
Much better to be wet and drunk than
Having experienced
sober.
Having experienced both, I will again tell you that yesterday was
Sylvie, that's
ridiculous.
Twitter poll.
What is
it better to be wet and sober or wet and drunk? I think wet and drunk all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, every time.
Yeah, for sure. We put it up on the poll, if you want to, on ESPN, ESPN 1000's Twitter handle. Jim and Downers, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
So we were on the fourth row, exposed by the south end zone. First, shout out to Waddle for the biggest roar at the stadium yesterday when his name was announced.
Is that true, Jim? Because Danny Zetterman said the same thing, that Waddle got the biggest applause out of any alum.
Peanut Tillman did.
Maybe Pee-wee. Yeah, maybe Peanut and Brown were, and then Waddle, but being a little ad-lib there. But the thing was, the great about the game was it was like a measured enthusiasm that took place in the second half. And then once they got their lead and the rain came in, it just got amped and amped and amped. And I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years, and that was the funnest game I've been to in the last 10 years. It was spectacular.
That's great, Jim. It's awesome. Some of the pictures that I was on Instagram on the Bears Instagram account from a half hour ago, I think they put out there. It is, like, the pictures look so cool in the rain. Like, that's visible, and Quinn and Fields and the slides and so many different ones. You should check those out. Let's go to our buddy Bears fan, Bob. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bob?
I'm still drying off from yesterday. And, Tommy, I was like you. I left at 3 minutes to fourth quarter because it was torrential, and I could have, in my seats, because I'm 4'4", double nosebleed, I saw it coming over Lake Michigan. I don't get it, but this is cool.
I knew once there was no chance the 49ers had any ability to come back, it was taillights for
Bob,
me.
That's exactly right.
In 4'4", aren't you above the clouds, though?
Pretty much, because I was in the nose. You know, my nose usually bleeds when I get up there. Never mind. So, anyways, I've been thinking about your question. I was really impressed with two things, not one. First one was Fields coming around and confidence building, not after the first touchdown, but the second one. I really felt he's now learning to start to come into his own. The second thing which impressed me even more was Coach Eberflus, because Coach Eberflus decided to put, I don't know, my friend Mike Murphy used to say, ride the hot pony. He didn't play Montgomery. He played Herbert instead of Montgomery because Herbert was doing a better job in running. You know, I could see it on the field. He was breaking loose and breaking free as to where Montgomery, you know, he just wasn't going anything and doing nothing. So with that being said, other coaching regimes wouldn't do that. This guy did. That impresses me to where he's trying to win a game. Those are my thoughts. Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks,
I remember the New Orleans game that we always talk about with Nagy off the bye. When he gave up on the run, he spent all bye week trying to fix their run, and he gave up on it three or four plays in. Remember? Because they were averaging 1.1. And it's what you keep stressing. There are some people who Hoodie was frustrated today. I think Danny was frustrated.
Yurko was frustrated with it.
I like that they stuck with it. That they yesterday's game plan, while it didn't work in a lot of places, they had to protect that offense and that line and that quarterback.
They ultimately ran it 37 times and threw it 17 times. And early in the game, I remember in preseason, maybe it was the second or third preseason game, where they ran it a couple of times on third and five, third and six. And we came in and we were both talking about it, like, they're going to do some of that this year. Because that's just, they're going to maintain their dedication to running the football. It's not a highly explosive offense at this particular time. So in some instances, they're going to take some of the risk out of the equation. They're going to play good defense, maybe play the field position game. I think, just my opinion, I think that the second touchdown pass, the play was a brilliant call by Luke Getsy. Because the 49ers were stacking the box and they were going all out to stop the run all the time. And there was, I think the drive before, the Bears on third and four ran the ball. They stuffed Montgomery. They were saved by a face mask penalty, which extended the drive, and they ended up getting in the end zone. But the fact that the 49ers were so inclined to try and play the run, I remember when they were coming to the line of scrimmage, I looked at my wife and the ball was coming in our way. And in the end zone, I said, this is exactly where Luke Getsy will show you how creative he is, potentially. This is, you know what, nut cutting time, where you've shown them all game long that you're going to run the football, even on third down. Now can you dial up a saucy play to try to get the best of a defense that continues to sell out to stop the run? And the play was a brilliant designed play. Take nothing away from Fields. It was a great throw. There were three guys it could have gone to. Like, it was all 49ers going after Fields, and guys were breaking it different. It was a beautifully designed play. It came at the right time. And I think in large part, it was also the residual effect of staying committed to running the football. It's some of the stuff that I always talk about with regard to Shanahan. Like, he does things early in a game that pays dividends late in a game.
That sets it up for later. This is,
to me, that was a quintessential example of that. Running the football, staying committed to run, whether it's because your offense isn't working and your quarterback's struggling a little bit, or it is to set some things up later in the game. You know, I think they're going to stay committed to running the football, even when you average 2.7 yards per carry, which they did. They carried it 37 times for 99 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. Some of that was because of the conditions. Other of it is because that's who this team is going to be early on.
Chris in Naperville, you're on Waddle and Selvey. What's up, Christopher?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I wasn't at the game yesterday. I wish I was. It's kind of what Bob said, but instead of the running backs, I think Luke Getsy deserves a lot of credit for the adjustments in the second half with the tight ends. I don't think I saw a tight end line up in a slot or go out for a pass. I mean, every time I saw Cole Kmet, they were throwing him at whatever side Bosa was on because Bosa was just abusing Braxton Jones. So I think the coaching staff deserves an A-plus for their adjustments. Would love to hear your guys' thoughts on it. Thanks.
I agree with you 100%. That's, again, that's why I thought it was apropos that the general manager and the head coach got the game balls. Listen, that won't be the case throughout the course of the year, but I think they're very well coached. I think they've got a plan, and I think you saw both elements of that on display yesterday. Again, you're not going to win many games when you have 204 total yards of offense and you're outgained by over 100 yards. But if you can stay disciplined and you don't beat yourself and you take care of the football and you take it away from the other team, you give yourself a chance.
Boston downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Boston?
What's going on, guys? Thank you for taking my call, man. Loving your show. Yep. Just wanted to make some quick points real quick, if I may. I give credit to the coaching staff, you know, the way they manage the game due to the conditions. Also, it's not too many teams you see in the NFL who execute their rookies. The Patriots are one of them. Pittsburgh is another. But Brisker, I like Brisker. I like the other guy, the 91 Jacks. Yes, yes. I like him as well. So it was a positive day. They won. They have to prepare for Green Bay. Also, I'm hoping that Eberflus decides to blitz a few times. Their defense is a little predictable, so is the offense. They run a lot, and I'm not minding it due to the conditions yesterday, but they're going to have to mix it up just a little bit more, get Clement involved, get Mooney some catches, kind of mix it up. That way it makes the whole offense versatile. But I have no complaints of the game yesterday. They're 1-0, and hopefully we can go to 2-0 against Green Bay next week.
You know what, Boston? I think I saw a stat. I'm not sure they blitzed. If they didn't blitz at all, they blitzed very little. And if you heard what Eddie Jackson said, I think it was Eddie Jackson, maybe it was Jalen Johnson at the end of the game. Their plan was to force Trey Lance to play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by rushing four. Maybe you bring a linebacker. Maybe you rush five at some times. But you drop back into a zone and you make a guy go through his progressions. And you obviously could see that Trey Lance, some of it was weather conditions. Other it is that was his third start. He's not very experienced. And you can tell also when he starts to feel a little bit of panic, his eyes come down. It's something that we saw Mitch do. It's something you saw Justin do. It's something you see young quarterbacks do all the time. You stop looking downfield, your eyes come down, and now all you see is what's in front of you. You panic, and now you're lost.
You know, he played in a dome in college, too.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, even though he was in North Dakota, it's not like he's playing in cold weather and in bad conditions.
You know, we aren't the home of the 49ers, but it is an interesting situation they have.
Yes.
You know, like, I think it would be foolish for everyone to write him off based on what you saw yesterday. Like, his first start of the 2022 season, his third start overall in those conditions. Like, if you're coming to a long-term conclusion on him, I think you're a little bit you're being a little hasty. If I'm a 49ers fan, I'm worried because I don't think he's got a great feel for the position right now. I've said that through preseason. I think you saw some of that even in inclement weather.
Orlovsky was showing today about how his eyes would go down.
As I said, yes. Like his eyes come down.
He doesn't see downfield. He panics and he doesn't continue to watch where his wide receivers are. Then it's over for him. And that's why
Jimmy G could be under center sooner rather than later.
Now, again, bad weather.
Yes.
Third overall star.
Absolutely.
And your second best player isn't there.
No doubt.
And then you lose Elijah Mitchell
in the middle of the game.
He had a lot against him.
I get it. Like I said, I think it'd be hasty to jump to any conclusions. But for a win now team, I think that, you know, the panic button gets pressed sooner rather than later for them if you see him struggle for the first four or five games of the season because you've got Jimmy G on the bench.
Jimmy on the north side with the newborn and a new Bears victory. Jimmy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
A whole lot, fellas. How are you guys?
Good.
You getting sleep?
Good
family weekend, huh?
You getting sleep?
Oh, who needs sleep after that game? Guys, I wanted it quickly. I went to Dino's in the Glen to get like $400 worth of jerseys for my kids. So, and you know, I know you guys know him. So, great guy. I'm going to be there several times in the upcoming future.
It's a good place, isn't it, Jimmy? Dean told me you were there.
Yeah, he's wow. He's got a collection. We were going to go to Dick's. Quite honestly, I saw it. I was like, let's hang a left here. And he's got, you know, more youth stuff than I've ever seen before.
It's a great spot.
So, it was great. And, guys, yesterday, I remember sitting in the third quarter thinking to myself, you know, back to the depressing Bears where it's like, you know, you can make excuses and all this. And I'm like, there's no more excuses. And it is what it is. And then I think Justin Fields, and he's done this before. You look at last year against Pittsburgh. He should have got that win, but we've got a personal foul. He's made some really big plays. And that play on third and nine where he felt the run west to the left-hand side, and he caused the defense, because of his skills and his ability, he brought them tracking towards him on the left side, and the guy got wide open because of Justin Fields, right? So I'm really, really encouraged about his play, despite, you know, the statistics. And you hear these people from San Francisco talking about the referees. You know what? Go home. Like, they're brimming with elegant self-regard that's unjustified. So just like that whole city. So pretty pumped up.
Listen, they were the team that, like, look at this real quick. They're the Super Bowl contender, yet they were the undisciplined group. 12 penalties, 99 yards on the Bears' first touchdown drive that Jimmy was just talking about. They had a third and four where Montgomery was stopped at the line of scrimmage. 15-yard face mask. A couple plays later, the play that Jimmy described. Their next possession, their third and nine, field scrambles for five. It's going to be fourth and four. Penalty, defensive holding. Several plays later, they get an unnecessary roughness penalty, another 15 yards. Three plays later, the Bears score again. Then Eddie Jackson gets the interception. They're on a short field. They're second and 11, a defensive holding, which gives them an automatic first down. Two plays later, they're in the end zone. It was the Bears that was playing. They were playing collectively like the veteran team. It was the 49ers that had the pee-pee pistol out that consistently given it to themselves.
They kept shooting themselves.
They kept shooting themselves.
Right there.
312-332-3776. We got some Waddle's World stuff. We'll continue to take all your Bears calls. Whether you sat on the couch and you were happy you were there, Tyler asked a good question. Did you have FOMO? Did you have the fear of missing out, being on the couch, and did you wish you were there? And then we want to hear from the people's experiences if you were there. There's a dude who Keith Williams sent me the video. I tweeted out the video of it a couple times, who is the biggest feat I've ever seen. He was shirtless. Have you seen the video? And he was celebrating in the downpouring rain with his shirt off. And it's got like 50,000 views on Twitter. I want to find that guy and get him to call in. So if you know that guy who you see the video on my Twitter handle, have him call into the show.
Does he have a headache today?
I know we'd like to see that. And he can maybe answer the question, is it better to be wet and drunk or wet and sober? 312-332-3776.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, every team wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's world.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
You bet your sweet rear end. Waddle's world brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust. They are your community bank. To find your nearest Wintrust community bank, visit wintrust.com/finest member FDIC. Tremendous partners. Some injuries, some major injuries in week one. I think that that's somewhat expected. It's nothing that you hope for, but certainly it's something that you have to deal with in this sport.
Every year, you ask the question, oh, is it worse this year? It's just always bad.
It's always bad.
Especially at the beginning.
No question about it. Dak Prescott set to have surgery on his right thumb. He's out indefinitely. Probably 6, 7, 8 weeks, something like that, which then falls right into the area right where they're supposed to play the Bears, maybe. So the Bears maybe catch the Cowboys without
week
that.
Week 8, I want to say week 8.
Yep, that's correct. That's the 7 week mark. So that's right in that window.
I know, like a lot of people, I'm sure, woke up and didn't know the news because a lot, like I checked out of that game early. I knew Dallas wasn't doing
anything. It was a long day. Yeah. So, you know, going to bed early and watching that game. I got to tell you, we'll swing around the NFL here in a second as well. But Dak was bad. I didn't think Tom Brady looked very sharp. Again, you don't make any, I don't think you should make any long-term, you know, judgments on what's going to happen in a 17-game season. But definitely Tom Brady looked like he had missed 10 or 12 days in training camp. Nice. Didn't look like he was very sharp.
Aaron Rodgers, same thing.
Absolutely. And T.J. Watt's going to get another opinion on his pec. I think he's getting a third or fourth opinion on his pec.
Someone is going to tell him that it's not torn?
Yeah, I don't know what he's looking for. Someone to tell him what he wants to hear, but you saw him as he came off the field and mouthed the words to a coach or to a trainer that I tore my pec. So, I mean, what a monster he was prior to the injury as well.
Isn't that what started the fight between Yurko and me? Was it T.J. Watt?
Yes, it was about T.J. Watt and what the Steelers would do.
Yeah,
to try and replace him. So, how about the fact that the Bears, not only did they rally and win that game, which was tremendously exciting, they came out of that game. I don't believe there's a single guy listed on the injury report coming out of that game, right? Am I correct about that?
Yeah, and Matt Eberflus was speaking earlier today. He said he'll address all the injuries on Wednesday, but nothing on the surface right now.
Yeah, as I said earlier, the 49ers lost their running back Elijah Mitchell during that game.
Did you say for 2 months, too, for Elijah
Mitchell? I didn't know
Mitchell.
How long. Yeah,
wow. Schefter came down, so that'll be a big fantasy move.
It always seems like, I said to Waddle Miller, that San Francisco every year has running back injuries. Isn't that how we got to Debo?
Remember, they who was the kid that they signed from Minnesota?
Jarek McKinnon.
Yeah. Fantastic player, but immediately, I think even before he played
ACL.
A game.
Yeah, in preseason. ACL. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Again, I want to find a money line bet or some sort of bet on when Jimmy G gets his first start. I think maybe it's worth the investment.
When would you say? Like, what if I told you?
I got to look at their schedule
before or after week six.
How are the 49ers playing?
Well, I mean, that's what you got to forecast.
Of course. I got to look at their schedule and see who they're playing and see potentially where they may be at that point. But you know, that's a veteran group. At some point, if the young kid isn't playing very well, you know, there's going to be some pressure for them to. They get the Seahawks next. Then they're at the Broncos. They get the Rams. They're at the Panthers. They're at the Falcons. Then they get the Chiefs, Rams, and Chargers again.
So Seahawks, though, next, you said?
Should be able to get past them.
Yeah, that's good.
Then you go to Denver. So we'll see. We'll see how it kind of plays out. Anyway, the injury update brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask, and don't delay your care. In person or virtually, Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu. We can also get into some college stories tomorrow. Today's more of an NFL recap. And I thought that you can argue that the game that took place in Cincinnati, while it was nut, while it was...
What was that? Was that me?
It wasn't me.
That was pretty cool.
Did I do that? Stretching.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I bet you Abdallah's playing something upstairs.
Oh, is he?
We're getting a cross.
Because I stretched again and they did it again.
Yeah. You got a musical
motion sensor in there.
Hold on. I'm going to blame Abdallah without knowing any actual information.
That was
pretty crazy.
It does sound like the Black and Abdallah sound effects, doesn't it?
That's why I bet you I bet you he's recording a podcast or something upstairs.
That's right. We're always worried when we're doing Unhinged. Because we know it bleeds through, and that's while Greeny's playing, right?
Yeah.
Blame it on
Be careful Greeny. With your F-bombs.
Blame it on Carlin.
Yeah.
I think you're going to find it hard.
But you and Carlin and your Giants yesterday, huh,
yeah.
Sylvie?
Ooh. Is Greeny on tomorrow or no? Is that, I know Greeny was
I think
was a
he's back for the football season.
No, is Greeny on our show tomorrow? Wasn't Danny?
Oh.
Because I was suggesting that maybe, like, in the middle of the interview, say,
Carlin
hold on, Greeny, Chris Carlin stepping in for you for a few minutes here.
I'm sure you have a great sense of humor about this.
Yeah, it'll go over well. Good work. Yeah. Hi, Greeny. He's trying to piss you off. I think it's going to be hard to find a game. I'm sure it may happen. It's going to be hard to find a game that plays out in the manner in which the Steelers-Bengals played out yesterday. Week one. That game, I didn't see it, obviously. I really had no idea what had transpired because I was out at the Bears game when I came back. I knew that, and my daughter was watching the game in overtime, and I knew that the Bengals missed a short field goal. And then I know that they doinked, the kid from Pittsburgh doinked a field goal.
Boswell, yeah.
But I didn't realize.
They blew the extra point.
I didn't realize that the game should have been over when the Bengals scored with 2 seconds to go, and Minkah Fitzpatrick blocked the extra point.
They were missing their long snapper. Ooh. It was a backup long snapper, so that's what threw everything off. But the Bengals, you talked about the pee-pee gun.
Yes.
They were using their pee-pee gun all day.
Joe Burrow with 4 interceptions. There's no chance Joe Burrow plays another game that bad this year, right? You think? No chance?
I wouldn't think so.
No. And Mitch did what Mitch does. Mitch just does what Mitch does.
Win? He wins football games?
No, I'm just saying, like, this is the Mitch, you know, mystique.
You want to hear it? This is, and I got my buddy Danny, not Danny Zetterman, another Danny Z, believe it or not, from Niles North as well, was going, Mitchie, he's a big truther. And I sent him back, I go, he had a 78 quarterback rating.
Yeah.
He threw for less than 200 yards.
In 5 quarters. Because they played a full extra period.
And their offense, led by Mitch, had one offensive touchdown drive.
They had 267 yards of total offense. They were 4 of 15 on third down efficiency. Again.
How many first downs did they get?
They had 13 first downs. To the Bengals, 32. Like, again,
32
this is,
to yeah. 13. Yes. Don't come yes. with me with your Mitchie. Text messages.
This is who he is. He's going to manage some stuff, but at the end of the day, Mitch gets the quote-unquote W.
Yeah, that's
it. But the Bengals miss an extra point to win the game and then miss a 25-yard field goal after the Steelers went 3-and-out on their first possession in overtime.
They also mismanaged the punt.
Yes.
In overtime.
Yeah, the Bengals will be my bad in good, bad,
yeah,
and dirty.
Yeah, which should have led to a tie. It gave them more time to go downfield.
By the way, I edited good, bad, and dirty. It's going to be good, bad, and dumb for me. I've got a good dumb for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a good, bad, and dumb for you. But also of note, the Green Bay Packers were manhandled up in Minnesota. 23-7 is your final there. How much of that game did you watch? Did you watch it all?
A lot, yeah.
I thought that the Minnesota Vikings got a huge bump just from having Kevin O'Connell on their sidelines instead of Zim. I thought there was some Zim fatigue up there.
Yeah, for sure.
O'Connell did some really good things, moving guys. I think Meller was talking about it, or maybe it was Tyler talking about it. Justin Jefferson was in motion more in that game than probably he was completely
almost all last season.
All of last season. I thought O'Connell brought some of the Rams concepts up there. I thought the defense, which has been rebuilt a little bit, played hard. I'd advise people who want to quickly kick the Packers probably to Take a deep breath. They weren't great yesterday, but they seem to find a way to figure things out. They've got Aaron Rodgers, and I think that, like last year when they went to New Orleans they went to, or maybe they were at home and New Orleans beat their ass, they found a way to turn things around. So
let me see what they did the following week, too. I'll go, let me Google their results.
Yeah, they housed them. Remember, it was the Saints. They played in Jacksonville, remember?
Oh, that's
because
right.
The Saints, yeah, because there was a weather issue.
That's right.
And so it was a chaotic week. And everybody thought the Packers would have an advantage because of that. But they got housed.
Yes. Anyway, you also saw the Giants. They beat Tennessee 21-20 as they scored in the final minute of the game. Daboll goes for two.
Yes.
And gets it. Saquon was fantastic.
Over.
Those who want to kick dirt on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, I would advise you to lay low for a while. They beat Arizona 44-21. And I've said, like, I think we all feel the same way. Justin Herbert is such an exciting young quarterback. The Chargers beat the Raiders 24-19. There were four or five throws in that game that are just eye-popping. Just crazy good throws.
We get them on Thursday against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You want to talk about some good eye candy. Now, it's a short week, but you get Herbert Mahomes coming off of their games. That's the first Amazon Prime game, right?
I believe so, yes. And the Detroit kneecap biters made it close. They actually rallied with 14 points in the fourth quarter. They lose to the Eagles 38-35 in that game. But again, I think this is who the Lions are going to be. They're going to play everybody tough.
Yeah, they're going to be tough.
May not win more than they lose, but they're going to play everyone tough. The Dolphins took care of business against the Patriots 2017.
Boy, the Patriots in Miami were really, yeah, really bad.
They feel like they're lost a little bit.
Yes.
Like they're in no man's land for whatever reason. Cleveland found a way to beat Carolina. I know that Carolina was a big pick with many people in that game, but they found a way to come back and win that game. A
couple big field goals down the stretch. Pinheiro gave Carolina the lead.
I think you saw, I mean, for the Bears' purposes as well, you saw a feisty Atlanta team that actually played some competitive football. The New Orleans Saints come back and beat them. Washington came back and were they trailing in that game with Jacksonville? They won 28-22. Yes.
Because it was, again, typical Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns,
two interceptions.
Well, good early, bad in the middle, and then he ended up good at the end. But, like, you never know. Quarter to quarter, Carson Wentz varies.
Tell me what happened in the Indiana-Houston game. I saw a lot. Was Lovie playing for the tie in that game? I didn't see
that.
He punted late
in the overtime. They had the ball on fourth. That was, like, fourth and seven. From around, like, maybe, like, right around midfield. And instead of going for it, he clearly played for the tie and just punted and pinned him back. But it wasn't, I understood it.
Yeah.
And by the way, our little wins pool draft had me rooting a lot harder for the Texans than I ever imagined. Ending up with a tie in a wins pool.
Yeah, that's
when the Texans are on the verge of upsetting the Colts, boy, that was a stomach punch.
How did week one go for the squad? Is there a tally? Is there a running tally?
I can get us a tally in a second.
Give us a tally for what's coming up next.
Yeah. All right. And also when we come back, I do have one story. We'll get back to the phone calls as well. But I do have one Waddle's World story that I need to bring to your attention.
We got to give the La Russa stuff.
Oh, that is
even
well.
Even though they don't play today, yeah, and the Sox did take 3 out of 4. But today, of course, is a victory Monday for our Bears.
But I think you would also like the story about thousands of donkey penises that were seized.
We love our pizza here in Chicago. We also love frozen pizza. Got to have great frozen pizza. And Chicago knows that we can count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Shout out to the guys on Twitch who was messaging them about Connie's earlier and bulking up on Connie's this summer and fall, and I'm proud of it. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust or their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's Frozen has you covered with restaurant quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Okay, you're going to get the donkey penis story regardless. Do you want it before or after the tally, so to speak?
No, give me the donkey penis story.
Thousands of donkey penises seized in smuggling operation between Nigeria and Hong Kong. Nigerian officials have seized thousands of donkey penises that were about to be exported to Hong Kong. Although the seizure of donkey genitals is rare, donkey skins are known to be frequently exported or smuggled to countries like China, where the skins are used in traditional medicines. This illegal trade is drastically diminishing the donkey population in Nigeria, where many rely on donkeys as work animals. A total of 16 sacks of genitals were seized last week at the international airport in Lagos, Nigeria.
How many in a sack? 16 sacks? What's to a sack?
Like a baker's dozen?
Like a bulk?
Buy me some penis and cracker jack.
That was the turning point.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That was the turning point of the whole Maneggy era.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's no question about it. He went into that as visor guy. He came out of it as penis guy.
And you're right. That's quite a turn. It's hard to recover
right?
from.
I mean, boy,
that's a label you don't want.
No.
It really isn't. I'm not sure. You know what? I'll do some investigative report to find how many donkey dongs are in a bag.
You are the bull penis expert.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's called Pizzle.
Right. And then dogs
for
chew
dogs.
On it. Yes. This is for medicine, though.
This, yes. They are stealing donkey penises and using them for medicinal reasons.
Okay.
Brings a whole new meaning to the phrase sack of donkey dongs, right?
Didn't know that there was a meaning.
Maybe in your vernacular there is, but
I don't know if this is an all new meaning.
Here's a sack of donkey dongs for you. What do you think about that?
You've heard of the game Donkey Kong?
Donkey dongs. You got to climb the ladders to get yourself some sacks of donkey dongs.
For medicinal purposes only.
So the sack of donkey dongs? Are you just happy to see
me? There's a big donkey at the top of the
building.
You know
what? I got a sprained elbow. You know the only thing that's going to work on that? Some donkey dong.
Climbing the ladder, a bunch of penises are rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
You got to jump over them.
I bet, you know what? I bet you could sell that video game to thousands and
donkey
thousands.
Donkey dong.
Yeah. By the way, what's our tally?
Our tally after week one in our NFL wins pool, Meller's got 4, Sylvie's got 4, plus the Broncos tonight.
Whoa, look at
Waddle's
you!
Waddle's got 3, and I've got 2, plus Seattle tonight.
All right, everyone counting me out. Don't sleep. I'm the Eberflus of this. We're going to play smart. We're going to play, we're building a foundation.
That's really all I got for you. Oh, and the update for Tony La Russa?
Yeah, he's got a pacemaker.
That's right.
And the update is that he has not been medically cleared yet. There's been a lot of reports from Heyman, from Nightingale, that he is going to manage again. Now, he did fly back with the team.
Right.
So I would still expect them to know.
First time he was in the building again. The
day he goes into the clubhouse to say, hello.
Feel my pacemaker.
Yeah,
I think it'd be irresponsible of us to blame that loss on Tony.
I'm just saying. Yes.
All right. Solid.
All right. So coming up next.
I'm sprained, Mella. Can you give me one of them donkey dogs?
I want to play you some of the great moments from yesterday's game. And we came this close to hitting our first parlay. We got to think of what's coming up for next week. And we'll play that for you next.